Hi guys, I'm Alan.
And I'm Callum.
And you're listening to What's Now with Callum and Alan in partnership with Darrow.org, Scotland's only Creative Commons website. Yeah, so this week, what I thought I could talk about, since Tom Clancy's The Division comes out soon for what platforms is it on?
Xbox One, PS4, PC.
PC, right. So it's on everything.
All the good ones.
All the good, big ones, yeah. It's not on the Wii U, unfortunately. No. Yeah, so we're going to just sort of start chatting about that.
Yeah.
See where it leads. Mm-hmm. Maybe look at sort of open world games in general. Really.
Some similar kind of like loot and shoot games that we've played in the past as
like
well.
Like multiplayer kind of.
Yeah.
Sweet. So, yeah, it's looking quite good, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't had the chance. You played the beta.
Yeah, I played the beta.
Briefly.
Yeah. Look. No, look. I liked it.
Yeah.
In so much as it looked nice.
Yeah.
And it played like a game.
Yeah.
But.
What more can you
But answer? I was like, I went on to it. I didn't realise my console had downloaded it, so that was a nice wee surprise. Yeah. But I went on and played it, and it was just kind of like, it just kind of dumped me.
Yeah.
And it was like, there you go, play the game. And I was kind of like walking around, not really knowing what was going on. There was nobody else nearby. There was no like enemies nearby. I was just kind of wandering around the city.
Yeah.
Very nice game world that they've constructed, but the beta was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unfulfilling.
I've watched a lot of the live stream over the past couple of days, and the devs have said that because you start the beta at level 4.
Yeah.
I
thought that was weird, I was like, why am I level 4?
Because the devs have said in the live stream that you start the beta at level 4, there's an introductory mission structure sequence that takes you from level 1 to 4, which obviously contextualizes everything.
The whole game.
Yeah.
Right.
So, for the beta, they drop you in at level
4. It was
nice
of them to mess all that out.
Yeah.
For,
but I think what they've said is it's like, spoilery stuff, I suppose, in terms of the storyline and things like that. So
I mean, that's
I think what they decided for the beta was people want to kind of, they want to get people into the game and see how it holds up to all the players coming in, and also B, people want to kind of run about the world and see what the shooting's like and see what the looting's like and
see what
the fighting's. So I think, yeah, they said we'll cut the kind of prologue bit off and then just dump people out into the kind of first area. Yeah.
There was a sweet one highlight. I mean, to be fair, I only played it for like 20 minutes because I was kind of like, I was wondering about nothing was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
I'll just stop. And I had somewhere to be anyway. But there was a sweet Shaun of the Dead reference.
Really?
In it. Yeah, because like, do you know that you get those like echo log things?
Yeah.
Where you get
you
a reconstruction of what had happened. There was one that I was just wandering the back alleys, hoping that somebody would start shooting me so I could play the game properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was kind of looking for trouble in a bad
neighborhood.
and I was wandering around, and there was one of these log things, and I like scanned it or whatever, and the reconstruction came up, and it was a guy and a girl, and the guy was called Sean something. And he was like, the girl was like, oh, what should we do? And he's like, come, we'll go this way. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, over the fence? And he was like, oh, what do you mean? He never taken a shortcut before. And
nice.
Then the fence like collapsed, and you see like the sort of glitchy, like the fences being like collapsed. I was like, that's really funny.
Man, you might be the first person to notice that, because I've been on the Reddit and stuff, and I haven't seen anybody mention a Shaun of the Dead reference. So you could be the pioneer that's found the Shaun of the Dead reference.
That's my claim
to
fame.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite... No, I thought it was quite funny. So I was like, I did consider playing it for just maybe there's more funny things
I think I've seen some things people have posted.
Yeah.
It seems to have quite a sense of humour about it, even though it's quite a bleak game.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It did, but like, the game world was really cool. Like, it looked right. You know, I've been in New York twice.
Yeah.
It looked... Like actually,
New
like I mean, you go and yeah, kind of if you play like a Grand Theft Auto 4 or something, it's like it's a little bit exciting. It's like there's New York, but it's not New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've had that with Fallout 4 because like I was recently in Boston and I was like, it's really cool because you get to see all the sights and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not the size of
Boston. Nah, it's like much
compact version of Boston, which is fair enough. I mean, you don't. It would be cool if it was the size of Boston.
Whereas this is allegedly a 1-to-1 scale of New York City, and all the buildings are
intense.
All the buildings are the right size, totally accurate to the real life.
I mean, that does look really cool if that's the case. Because it was like, I was wandering in like back alleys and stuff, and it's like normally in these kind of games, I mean, some of them would be just like cleared off by debris. Yeah. It's like you kind
of
get.
Apparently, there's a lot of the kind of apartment blocks and stuff you can get into. You go inside.
There was a few doors I went past, and it's like I couldn't get in them. I assume just because it's the beta. But it was like it didn't look like it was just texture.
Yeah,
it looked like this is an actual door you could actually go in.
And then there's all the rooftops and stuff.
Yeah. It does look like it's shaping up to be quite a good fun looking game.
Yeah.
But I think we were speaking with this just before we started. It's the kind of thing that will be much more fun playing with somebody.
Definitely. Yeah these kind of because I think it's 4-player co-op. I think you can play.
Yeah.
The squad size is like 4 players.
Which is a good amount.
That's a good amount. Yeah. It's not.
It's like a raid squad.
Yeah. It's not like 24 players. Yeah. Did you play in a blizzard? Did you see any of the kind of blizzard effect?
Nah.
Apparently they're really cool. I've seen little bits on the kind of official stream, but like playing in a blizzard, it's kind of has a lot of. It's not just a kind of visual effect. They've tried to kind of make it like a real kind of tactical.
It
has quite a lot of impact on the actual combat as well, because the visibility from what I've seen is reduced to like a couple of meters.
Kind of like
when there's a big fog.
Like sandstorms in Metal Gear Solid
5. Yeah.
They're like something that you could factor into.
Yeah.
Like you could do what I do, which is go into an enemy stronghold and wait until a sandstorm appears and then do the objective.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's going to be. I think
that'd be quite
kind of tactical advantages to that.
I was just kind of wandering around. Like, there was a few civilians going about.
Yeah.
Pointed a gun at the few of them, just kind of like.
Every scatters.
Like, are you a villain? What's going on here? There's a couple of dogs.
Yeah.
I got in a situation with a dog. I was like. Oh. I was like, it was wandering near me. I was like, are you like a hostile dog?
Are you going to turn on me?
And I was kind of like looking at it, and it was like barking at me.
Oh.
And I was like pointing my gun at it, and I was like, should I shoot this dog? I felt bad.
It's a grey area.
I was like, I'll leave it.
Yeah.
And then it just wandered away. And then another one came and did the same thing.
Oh.
I was like, that's odd.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, should I shoot these dogs? There's a lot of people nearby. I was like, I better not shoot dogs. I was like, that's a bad.
Slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope, exactly.
Killing animals.
You start playing the game for real. Just like, I'm in your squad.
Yeah.
It's like, where's Alan? He's inside shooting dogs.
Killing a dog.
He saw a dog was eyeballing him.
Yeah. Looked at him the wrong way from across the street. Yeah, that's funny that you mention there not being a lot of people about.
So, I have a diversion.
Okay.
But it's like a personal anecdote, right? This is more like funny between the two right? But it's
cover
like,
your ears.
For listeners, Callum knows this, but it's like, I seem to attract like a lot of negative attention for like kids when I'm out.
Oh yeah.
Like kids always seem to like give me like the dirtiest looks and stuff when
like children just do not agree with you.
I know, it's really weird. It's not like I've got anything against kids especially.
No.
Like,
and you're not scary looking.
No, I'm a normal looking guy.
Yeah.
Like if anything, a soft looking guy. It's like kinda you would
not like hostile or threatening.
No, not like threatening anyway. And it's like it's not like I do anything to provoke these kids.
No.
I just get like
throw some weird looks at me for no reason. Yeah.
I was in the shop the other day. I had to go and like buy something for like my dinner. And this wee girl came up behind me and kicked me in the back of the leg.
Whoa.
And I was like, I just whipped around because I thought it was like, because it was a kick.
Yeah.
It was like a proper kick.
Whoa.
And I was like, I thought it was maybe somebody I maybe knew or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I whipped around, I didn't see anybody. And I looked down and it was a wee child and like kicked me. And
did you give like any explanation?
Nah, she just kicked me. And there was like a mum there who was like furious at her.
Yeah.
But no, like, and she was like, say sorry and stuff. And she was like really insistent on the kid saying story.
Yeah.
But she herself didn't really apologize.
Yeah.
Like apologize to the extent you maybe should
when your child just assaulted somebody.
Yeah. It was like she was like, "I'm sorry," and I was like, "It's fine."
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, "I'm not in the mood for this." Nah. Right. Like I just want to get my £2 worth of stuff and leave the shop.
God.
Yeah. Bizarre. Really weird.
Yeah, that is incredibly weird.
Sorry, that was...
So hopefully no children in the division.
Hopefully no children in the division, because I just didn't want that attention. I don't need that heat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's funny you mentioned that there wasn't like a lot of enemies about and stuff. Apparently that was a bug with the beta as well.
Right, okay.
What happened was, as far as I could tell from what the developer had said, was that basically... when everybody came into the beta, there was loads of enemies, but there was a bug that they weren't respawning. So over time, essentially, the population of enemies got like wiped out, basically, and they weren't respawning. That's so it ended up that the kind of basically the players made the bad NPCs extinct. Essentially,
that's quite funny. I mean, good that they'll fix it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good they noticed it now. Yeah, rather than when the game launched. I suppose.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Oh, there's no bad guys for anyone to fight.
Yeah.
And then inevitably you run out of NPCs as well because everyone's like, oh, well, I'll shoot.
Oh, you should turn on them. We'll become the problem. Yeah. Like, we've become the villains in this piece.
I've seen some kind of, like, interesting kind of analysis and criticism of the game as well. Not in terms of, like, gameplay, because everyone universally online and stuff in this play debate seems to be like, yeah, the gameplay's really good.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of third-person cover-based shooter.
Like, yeah,
I played a lot of, like, Gears of War on the Xbox 360, and that was, like, a third-person cover-based shooter, and I really enjoyed that, and I can see a lot of kind of similarities between the two. But, yeah, I saw some kind of stuff on Reddit, and it was people saying things like all the and I mean, if you've ever played like a military shooter, they've always got this kind of pseudo neoliberal militaristic, I don't know, it's like any game, it's like when you play Call of Duty, it's like it's always got this kind of like I don't know,
like an underlying right wing sensibility.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think some of the things people were saying about this, it was like all the thugs that you like fight on the street, they're like mostly black guys, and like, what else was it saying? It was like, the civilians, when you run past all the civilians and stuff, like they're all like really terrified of you and stuff.
Yeah.
And so folk were saying like, oh, this is really weird. And obviously the developer said, hey, look, all the bad guys aren't black. You're just seeing a disproportionate amount of black people because we've only got one type of enemy in the game so far, which is about
alright.
Yeah. But one of the things that people were saying in its favour though was that like the division and like the joint task force, the kind of good guys, are all really diverse.
You get to randomise your, like, in the beta you get to randomise your appeals.
Yeah. What did you end up with?
A cool black guy.
Yeah. Because I saw...
Started off as an Asian woman.
Yeah.
Kept randomising to, like, a cool black guy. Yeah. And then I was like, should I stick or twist?
I'll stick.
Because who knows what I'll end up with before I get something that looks vaguely cool again.
So I saw people posting this kind of stuff. And obviously the developer responded. But I was just like, have you never played, like, a military shooter before? Yeah. They're all like that.
Particularly like a Tom Clancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've all got that to right wing.
Yeah.
Nut job.
It's like, it's always like that. Yeah.
I mean, I like Tom Clancy games. Like, I do enjoy them. But
nobody plays
like
them for, like, the theory, do they? You know what I mean?
I play them for the, like, gameplay or whatever.
It's like the other Tom Clancy game that's out, I think, is it next year? Ghost Recon Wildlands as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's... that's like in some kind of African state somewhere, so that's probably going to get a lot of the same.
Is it? I thought it was kind of like all over the shop. There was a lot of like South American bit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I know, I think it's like one...
The trailer for it is like a South American, like, drug cartel you like
take in. Yeah, I think it is one large map though.
Yeah, it did look... that's what it seemed to be the draw, that it was like you get like global missions.
Ah, right, okay.
It looked cool. But I mean, look, out of all the sort of Tom Clancy properties, like the Ghost Recon ones are like my least favourite, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Because like, look, I like...
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I like Rainbow Six. Mm. It's probably my favourite ones. And I like the later Splinter Cells that are kind of like easy because I'm bad at stealthing games. Because
the initial couple of Splinter Cells were like brick solid. Yeah. I remember trying to play that because they're old now.
Difficult, yeah.
Like I've played the first Splinter Cell.
I played some of like Chaos Theory, and that had like a co-op mode that I played with my dad when I was younger.
Oh yeah.
But they're so hard.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of those, and I've played Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, and I've played the most recent one, Future Soldier.
Yeah.
That was pretty garbage. Mm. Like, did you play that?
I didn't play Future Soldier, no. It's
pretty rubbish. Like, right. I completed it in, like, a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I completed it over a weekend, certainly.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really kind of, the story was, like, lacking a lot. And it was very much, like, gimmicky. Ah. In like a Call of Duty way, like this mission's gimmick is this, and then we're never going to use this again.
Like flying a jet, you know, the kind of Call of Duty style.
Yeah, because it's like you could go basically invisible in that game.
Yeah,
you get like an invisibility cloak essentially, and you could just it makes the game like ridiculously easy to complete.
Yeah,
and you have a whole squad, so you're able to like take out all the enemies at once. You just do a lot of marking and executing.
Yeah.
Like, again, all kind of cool elements and stuff. Like, I think this new one, for what's on that trailer, looks like it would be really cool. But, I don't know. I mean, that being said, Tom Clancy still, like, you've got, like, Hawks and, like, stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like Hawks.
All the other...
Hawks, like, what was it, like, End War?
Yeah.
Which was, like, the
RTS is that the RTS
game?
One?
Yeah. Rubbish. So maybe I was being a bit harsh. Ghost Recon. But like, in terms of like the shootery ones, that's my least favourite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think, obviously the kind of things people are saying, it's like, I was going to say, not every game can be Spec Ops The Line, but...
Oh, so good.
But...
Have you played Spec Ops?
I've not played it yet, no.
Good.
I get, like, everybody always says, like, Spec Ops The Line. It's like
amazing.
And I'm familiar with the idea.
Yeah.
But I think what I thought as well when I was kind of reading people saying, oh, this is, like, really, like... And especially, I think, a lot of folk were saying, in the wake of all the kind of, like, police brutality stuff in the States in particular, people were saying, like, this is a bit strange. But what I thought would be cool... And, like, I mean, games don't typically do this, I suppose, because it's hard to pull off. But I was, like, in that kind of... When I was thinking, no, every game can be Spec Ops Line, I was, like, unless...
Every game is Spec Ops Line.
Yeah. No, but...
Just every publisher is like, right, we're only making Spec Ops The Line for now.
Everybody makes the same game. Yeah.
Forever.
Man, that is hilarious.
That would be funny.
If everybody does a version of Spec Ops The Line.
If you get, like, every major studio to make, like, a version of Spec Ops The Line.
Bethesda's
Spec Ops The Line. Nintendo's Spec Ops The Line. Like, Sega. Ubisoft. That'd be quite funny.
EA.
Loads of microtransactions. That'd be funny.
Games should do that. Yeah.
That'd be a great idea.
But what I thought was, what if... Like, they do the twist, because obviously they've said they've kept pretty much the whole story and stuff under wraps. I'd be like, well, what if they were a more kind of shady, like
the Division's kind of like a, maybe no.
Because, I mean, they were all like, sleeper agents anyway, so that's already pretty dystopian.
Odd.
So,
yeah, like Russian sleeper agents.
Yeah.
That would turn on its head, make the Russians the. Wait. Not necessarily the good guys in this scenario, but like the player character, certainly.
Yeah. But even just if they are just, because obviously it's like, there's some kind of like American Special Forces thing, I think. But it's like, I mean, just if you were a developer with a bit more of a political conscience, I suppose, you would be like, well, these kind of things are always inherently suspect, I suppose. Mm. Especially when you're like imposing kind of martial law on like a civilian population as well. It's like,
I do actually quite like the premise. I think the premise is quite cool. The whole, like, Anthrax and, like, the Black Friday, whatever. I realise that's not a sentence I just said. But
no, but I know, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anthrax, Black Friday. Smash them together. Yeah. What do you get? The Division.
But yeah, that's the idea. It's like there's a kind of viral outbreak or something is released on Black Friday.
That just goes the most social commentary you'll get for the game, though.
Well, yeah.
Isn't Black Friday bad?
Yes. What is Black Friday bad? What if everybody died?
Yeah.
Everybody that takes part on Black Friday should die. Is the message from Ubisoft Massive, the developers of The Division. I think we'll be picking it up when it comes out and probably getting stuck in there.
Definitely, yeah.
Because as we said...
Because we do this.
Earlier on.
Yeah, that's what we do with games.
We like games, like co-op games. Yeah. Because it's always, I mean...
Good fun.
Back when we lived together, we played a lot of Borderlands.
So good.
And we played like the first Borderlands and played Borderlands 2. We skipped the pre-sequel.
That was mostly to do. That came out when we stopped living together, by the way. So that was mostly the reason. Because I'm pretty sure if we still lived together, we'd have just got it and played it. You know what I mean?
Eventually,
we would have went
half
hours on a coffee and just played it. You know what I mean?
So we played like a ton of Borderlands.
Yeah. We played like Borderlands and like the first Borderlands. We finished it in like 2 days or something.
Yeah, we like absolutely
non-stop playing
Borderlands.
It. Nights of like staying up till like 7 in the morning, like sleep deprived, delirium.
And that was when we had classes and stuff as well.
So good. Worth it.
Definitely worth it.
Not really, but worth
Well,
it.
Yeah.
In the long run,
it was a bonding experience.
Memories,
that's it. Yeah.
That we can now pump out an episode of a podcast based around.
We played a lot of Borderlands. Enjoyed that, and I think that's the problem now I have when to bring it back to The Division. I think that's the problem I have whenever one of these types of games come out, I always get really excited.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously talk on it, we'll get to the bum note eventually. But I always get really excited about these types of games because I do think I'm like, oh, it's a good game, can you get together and do some co-op? Because I always think of Borderlands.
Yeah.
And also, but the downside to that, I suppose, is I hold, and this is going to sound strange because people have mixed feelings about Borderlands, probably.
Probably.
Because, I mean, if you like story, then it's another game for you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, Borderlands isn't good, though, eh? Like, that's the thing. Like,
I don't know.
It's fun.
It's
like really
it's
really
engaging,
like just captivates your attention because it's so like insane looking.
It's not like video games as art, though.
No,
of
course not. It's just like just go and shoot them.
Yeah.
Just do it. But it's like it was mostly because we were just like sitting literally next to each other, like playing this on like
TV.
A split screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what made it so good. Whereas like, I think I said that to somebody recently. We're talking about Borderlands 2.
Mm.
Now, we have completed Borderlands 2, like, how many times?
Like
three, four times,
yeah.
See, if you were to say to me right now, what is the story? No idea. Like,
see,
I could not tell you what the story is. Of either of them.
Well, see, the thing is, it's like, I think they tried to go too big in the second one.
Yeah.
Because the first one,
a monster
or something. Yeah. See, the first one, it's a good way to sum up something about a monster.
Yeah.
But the first one is like, you're literally just like a ragtag band of treasure hunters. They go to this planet to find this treasure.
Oh, the vault.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then you get to the vault and it's a monster. Yeah.
Sweet.
And that was it.
I remember that.
And there's some kind of like, I suppose, subplots of like other things happening as well, but you never really take them in.
Oh yeah, so there is.
Because there's like an evil corporation,
and like
the Atlas Corporation,
Crimson
Lance.
Yeah, they're a thing.
Yeah.
This is like somebody with like amnesia trying to recollect their life here.
Yeah.
Like, and the Crimson, I want to say Crimson Sword, is that right? Crimson Joust.
Yeah, so there's like all this, there's all this stuff going on alongside as well, but it was a kind of basic. Like, you knew where you were headed. You might not know why or like where you were exactly, but you knew where you were headed. And then in the second one, I think they tried to kind of
do too much.
Yeah, and kind of create a plot, which was...
Yeah, because the second one's like, what? That guy, Handsome Jack has, like, beef with the Vault Hunters.
Yes.
And he's, like, outlawed Vault Hunters.
So I don't know. No, there's a second... There's a rumour of a second vault.
And again, it's just a monster.
Yeah, it's a monster. Yeah. But I think more self-consciously in this one, I think the villain wants to use the monster for his own ends.
Yeah.
As the kind of...
Do you not think, though, that... See, because obviously he has this total big beef with, like, the first four Vault Hunters. And then in the second game, you play as, like, four different Vault Hunters. It's like, should you not just be in the same four people?
The same four, aye.
Who has the problem.
Yeah.
The one bit of, like, Borderlands, like, 2, I remember, which is the bit where it's, it's so ridiculous in the, like, world of that game, right? Mm-hmm. It's when they, like, try and make you feel something for a character dying.
Yeah,
and it's
the bit where Roland dies.
Roland dies, but it's like, but you've got those, like, reconstruction-y machines, which are, like, part of the plot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's actually part of the, like, we've scanned your DNA, so if you die, you just pay some money and get, like, remade.
Yeah.
It's like, so literally, nobody ever dies in this, like, world, essentially.
Yeah.
Insane.
And
then it's
and that's the thing as well, it tries to create a really kind of like sad moment and you're like, this game is insane, so I don't care, and B, he could be alive.
Because they base a whole DLC around that.
Yeah, they do.
Like that Tiny Tina's assault on the Dragon's Keep
is
based
on
her like grief over Roland's death. It's like, this makes no sense.
Good DLC.
Good fun,
incidentally.
Yeah. Good fun.
Completely insane.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I know what you mean. It's, like, this more kind of... Yeah, because I think the DLC in the first one was, again, it was just more kind of just incidental weirdness. It wasn't like, oh, we'll try and tie it all together.
My favourite thing about the first one was when you played, DLC-wise, was when you had, General Knox's armoury.
Oh, yeah.
And you had, like, suicidal General Knox.
Yeah.
So you killed, right?
Yeah.
But then in every subsequent DLC, they brought him back to fight you again, which was hilarious.
And he just wants to die. Let me go.
God.
Yeah.
Such a weird game.
I know. And I think that's the thing. It's like you say, playing it together, I think, is a big part of the appeal. But I think things like... It's really arcadey, like the shooting inside. It's not like Call of Duty or like Battlefield shooting. It's like really kind of loose arcadey shooting, which is fine. But one thing I think that has always stuck with me about Borderlands as well, that I think it did really well, was the loot. Like, I think if you have a game, and again, to get to the bum note eventually, but if you have a game that's like about loot, there needs to be loot in it. And I think Borderlands literally spews loot.
Yeah. Aye, because anybody that dies, you can pick their gun up for a start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like tons of loot.
And then when you kill a boss, they literally explode.
Unless you're playing with Kala, it's tons of loot.
Yeah.
For any normal two people, it's enough to share, some might say.
Do you remember playing the second one and we fought Chromarax? And Alan used to hate fighting Chromarax, but I loved it.
Which was the raid boss. Which one was he?
He was like the big worm thing.
Terramorphous.
Oh, yeah. Chromarax is the one in the first one.
What's Terramorphous? Is that the big squid thing?
Terramorphous.
Terramorphous.
Yeah,
that you like made me fight over and over again.
And we would team up with that. Like random players.
People.
And when, because obviously this was like an absolutely epic battle. Like, it took ages to get through.
Yeah.
And then when you finally got through it, we would just, like, make an absolute, like, mad... Like, you would just fill your pockets.
Hoover everything. Like, stuff that was...
stuff you didn't even need. Because obviously it's, like, it's, like, class...
Class-specific stuff.
So we would just, like, hoover up all the loot, and these other people would just be left. The best thing, and this is, like, an absolute dick move, the best thing is you would, like, if people had died... near the end of the fight, you would do your like utmost not to revive them. You would like you would try and kill them on your own.
Yeah, it's so like how much health does he have?
Yeah,
could we do it just like two of us or one of us? It's
and then
like,
they would be probably. Like crawling along the ground. And you would be hoovering up all the loot if you managed to take them down.
Yeah, and then like kind of holding for ransom the stuff at the end, because you get to trade it with other players.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's all very well if, like, say, I want to trade something with you.
Yeah.
It's like, I say to you, can we trade this? And we are sitting next to each other in, like, real life. But when there's, like, some virtual person in front of you, who you're not speaking to, because you kind of refuse, because it's funnier that way.
Right.
And you kind of just, like, stand, it's like a Mexican standoff for a while, kind of like, is this, are we going to trade things here?
Yeah.
Because you, like, that's what people always ended up doing to you, though. It's like, they would show you what they had.
Yeah, they would,
like,
show you
look
really
at all this
cool
stuff I have.
Yeah.
Kind of like pretending they're going to trade it with you and then immediately take it off
really
the table.
Really strange, yeah, just a really boastful behaviour. But I think, yeah, that's one thing. I think that did look really well. And I remember being haunted by, there was a gun in the second one called, what was it called? It was like called the Conference Call. It was a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a shotgun that fired, like, it fired forwards, left and right, and backwards when you shot it. So it fired in all directions when you pulled the trigger. And it was like an automatic shotgun. And I just remember trying to get this shotgun. So it was that kind of, like, having the balance between, like, still having some kind of really epic, rare weapons that just doesn't give you everything. Because you would just get a load of junk a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. It would still give you, like...
Yeah.
Like menial stuff,
yeah.
That like peanut, like damage.
Stuff that, like, wasn't it worth picking up after a certain
like
point.
A pea shooter kind of gun.
Yeah,
but by comparison to your level. Like,
one of the frustrating things about that, I suppose, and we obviously felt this a lot playing it, was like weapons that you had equipped would get outclassed every 5 minutes. Essentially,
when you, like, grew attached to as well. You know what I mean? Like, I had a lot of that with, like, you know, your sniper rifle.
Because
I played, like, the sniper class, like, very cleverly, because you just did the fighting, which
was just
hilarious.
An absolute time.
It's like, send Callum to play these guys.
Because I always play that, because, like, in the first one I played Roland, which was the soldier.
Yeah.
Or the engineer, I think he's called, but it's basically just, like, a tank.
Yeah, and I was Mordecai.
And then I played...
who likes having sex with his bird thing.
Yeah.
Clearly.
What was the... like, what was... Axton is the soldier in the second one.
Yeah, pretty sure he's gay as well.
Yeah.
Like, we...
See, that's the thing, right?
Kept hitting on
the
male player characters, which was quite interesting.
Well,
I
see, the thing
that
is, that's what I was going to say. That leads to an interesting point about, like, the actual... Obviously, we said the story's mental and stuff, but having played it a lot and kind of read some of the stuff around it, like, there's a lot of kind of stuff in the game that's quite... progressive, because, like, when you get all the, like, audio, because inevitably in these games there's always, like, audio logs and stuff to collect and things like that, and even in the story stuff, it's like you hear a lot of the NPCs that you hear in the audio logs and stuff, they'll talk about having partners and stuff, and they talk about, like, there's a lot of, like, same-sex relationships and stuff, and you think, for a game that is, like, so juvenile in a lot of ways, to be quite mature in a lot of other ways is really interesting.
It's juvenile, it's like, it's all very, like, rednecky.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Characters, but it's like, it's funny because they're like, a lot of them have these, like you say, same sex, like, marriages and relationships and stuff like that. Which is, like, a nice, like, it adds to the humour as well, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think that's it. You're totally right, it adds to the humour, because you've got this, like, really, on one hand, really progressive society that, like, clearly doesn't care about, like, gender or race or anything like that, but then on the other hand is, like, completely barbaric and ridiculous.
Oh,
So I think that's one of the problems now when I play games like this. Like, for instance, when we went into Destiny, which we got on the 360 back when... we got on the 360 back when they had the upgrade deal.
Yeah, like a mug.
So we
that deal. See, they bought that like £10 cheaper if I just paid for the disc. But I was like, no, it's a good plan.
Yeah.
Pay 50 and get both like 360 and Xbox One versions of it. God, I regret that.
No. So we went into Destiny, obviously thinking, oh, this is, hopefully it will be a bit like Borderlands. I mean, because that was the premise as well. It was like, again, going into it, it was like, this is Bungie. This is the people that made Halo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Halo's good.
Halo is good, right? Look, I love Halo, but Halo and, like, story is another, like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's, like, You know how like Borderlands actually has a story that you are like part of and influence?
Yeah.
Halo has a story going on, but it chooses kind of not to tell you about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've always thought that about every Halo game. Mm. Maybe, like, mostly the first three. Particularly 1 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, stuff happening. Yeah. And you're kind of, like... It's just, like, characters talking in your ear, like, saying words that have, like, no... Like, you have no understanding what they're talking about. And it's kind of just, like... These, like, because if you actually go into the game and stuff, and you, like, go into, like, the terminals and, like, the actual backstory, there's, like, a lot of, like, complex story in Halo, you know what I mean? In terms of, like, your forerunners and, like, like why the Halo rings are what they are and, like, the Flood and, like, all that sort of stuff, the Covenant, like, how they came to be. But it's kind of like, it doesn't really bother telling you any of that or explaining any of it to you. It's just kind of like all stuff that's going on in the background. And it'd be like, it sure would be nice to be, like, way over there where all this stuff's happening, where I could be like part of all this. Very weird.
I think that was one of the things that in the end, like, I remember I played through all the Halo games in the Master Chief Collection, like, not that long ago. I traded it in once I'd finished, but like, I played like Halo 1, I remember playing, and I was just like shrugging my shoulders the whole time. I was like, what is happening? And then
it's like words. Like, what?
And then obviously, I think they try and like take charge of it a bit more in like 2 and stuff, but it
even so,
it doesn't seem to work.
And then 3's just like bananas.
So, I think
The thing is, right? Halo 3's one of my favourite games. Yeah. Even though, like, if you told me to like relay the plot, I'd be like, no chance. Like, I don't know why they're doing any of this.
I think that was one of the things going into Destiny. Not maybe not necessarily for us, but for other people. I think people thought, "Oh, it's Bungie. It's gonna be this amazing, like, epic story and stuff." And like you say, Bungie, maybe not that great for story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One thing I will say for Destiny is that the shooting is good.
The shooting's good. The enemy AI is alright. Yeah. As well.
Like, there's a lot of like ducking and dodging and flanking and stuff.
There's a lot of like,
which is rare.
It's kind of like, that's the thing about like Halo that's quite good fun, because it's like when you play like a Call of Duty, for example.
Yeah.
You're essentially just playing a rail shooter.
Yeah, basically.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas you're playing Halo, it's still like a linear shooter, but you have like big maps that you could do you could approach it however you want. You know what I mean? It's like. Like, Halo, for instance, will not say to you, get in this Warthog and drive to here to here.
Yeah.
It's like, if
there'll be a Warthog sitting
there. Yeah, there's a Warthog there. Yeah. It's like, if you want to walk, by all means, you know what I mean? Like, you will be able to do it. I mean, it'll be a lot easier if you use the Warthog. Whereas, like, a Call of Duty would, like, pick up the character.
It would force you.
Stuff them in the Warthog and drive it forward.
Now you're doing the driving bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, you shoot and then you actually drive, you know what I mean? Like, so, the enemy AI is good. But I said this to you when we were playing it.
Mm.
It's like you've got, what, 4 enemy types and like 4 enemy races or whatever. Like, I can't even name. Like, you can
the
name them.
The Fallen.
Like, that's the ones.
The Hive.
Yeah, there's the zombie ones.
The Vex.
Which ones are they? The robots.
The robot ones. And the...
The Cabal.
The Cabal.
The big ones.
And now there's the Fallen with the DLC that we didn't play.
What are they?
Well... Oh. Cheeky. They are reskinned versions of all the other 4.
Awesome. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, see, if you were to like look at all 4 of these things, it's like the exact same enemy types.
Yeah.
You've got like a big one, a wee one.
You could like line them all up.
Like a really big one.
Yeah.
Like a floaty one that just shoots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True,
it's exactly the same.
It's totally true.
And then like a boss type, I guess. But, which is kind of like a shame, because see that exact, like, those kinds of enemies I just laid it. They're the exact kinds in Halo.
Aye.
You've got your big one, your wee one, your like shooty one, your snipery
one. Aye,
like,
you've got your grunts, your jackals, your
brutes.
Your elites, your brutes, yeah, you're totally right.
And you're like, I don't know, like your engineers, I guess.
Mm.
Didn't really count because they didn't fight back, but.
Yeah.
And your, what, the big ones? The big worm ones? Hunters.
Yes.
Got them as well.
Yeah. Very lazy Bungie.
I know. No, because it does seem like this, like, well, we've got all this AI.
Yeah.
Let's just eat. It's like, well, do some different.
Yeah.
Look, I know that's, you know, it's like, look, I'm not a game developer, I know it's hard. But I do know and appreciate that it's very hard to come up with, like, AI, particularly, like, not enemy AI is easier to come up with, friendly AI. Oh, friendly AI is really hard to come up with.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it's like...
To create an actual useful...
Useful companion that companion will, like,
that contributes, yeah.
But, like, at the same time, it's like, if you've had... That if you've got this, like, a full studio on it, you've got all this battle, and it had, like, obscene amounts of money spent.
How much is it? Was it, like, 100 mil or something?
Yeah, the budget of that game was massive. It's like, you could have made some new AI for that.
And also, the thing is, they're incredibly, like, seasoned now, having done what?
Haven't,
how many?
I haven't done, though. Just Halo games.
Yeah, that's... Like, but, I mean, in terms of, like...
Seasoned, but also, like, only knows one thing.
Yeah. But even just from like a a team perspective, like imagine the amount, imagine the caliber of people you could hire if you were Bungie. So
that
if they
true.
Said like we want to invest in new AI, it's like I guess the point is they just were like we have good AI, so we'll use what we've got.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting point actually. It's an interesting kind of segue into one of the main criticisms of Destiny as well, which is the. Obviously, you mentioned all the money that was spent on it. And obviously, it was a partnership. It's Bungie and EA.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And see, this was the thing. It was like, what happened was, obviously, when they wrapped up Halo, they... Because they were a Microsoft studio, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they split from Microsoft and got straight into bed with EA to fund Destiny.
Yeah. It's where good franchises go to
well,
die.
Well, yeah. And I think there's a lot of, there's like, there's always been this kind of talk and rumour online about people who played like the alpha and people who played the beta for Destiny and they said, oh, it was like a much different, the game was like much different. Then the final product came out and like all the kind of story stuff that had been in the alpha and a lot of the locations, because apparently there was, for instance, there was another place, like every planet, you know, there's the planets, like the different planets.
Uh-huh.
Like every planet had like a couple of different maps and stuff
yeah,
like
instead
that.
Instead of just like
because there was like
Cosmodrome on Earth.
Well, see, there was like, apparently on Earth there was the Cosmodrome and there was like Old Chicago. There was two maps.
So that would have been cool.
Yeah, and then like on like the Moon and on Venus and there was like Mercury was in it and stuff and like all this stuff got taken out. And then what was the other thing? There was, and then basically what happened when it came out was people said, oh, there's all this stuff missing from the game. And then there's people played it over the months after it was out. Like people started to kind of poke around and there was a lot of areas in the game that were like walled off.
Yeah.
And then people through hacks or glitches or whatever got beyond the walls and there was like whole environments like that were boxed off, and then lo and behold, what was the first DLC? Like House of Wolves was the first one.
I think so.
And like one of these walls comes away, and House of Wolves is like ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the same for the Dark Below. Sorry, was the first one.
Right.
Dark Below comes out. One of these walls comes up. Lo and behold. This game area has been sitting there just waiting for them to put
all
enemies
time,
in it. And
yeah.
then House of Wolves comes out and it's the same story. And then Taken King comes out and it's the same again. And there's a lot of criticism of like some of the new levels are just like old levels backwards and like all sorts of like really kind of shady stuff. And for like we said already, like it's we played it together and it was again, we played it through.
Yeah. Couldn't tell you what the story is.
No clue as to what happened.
Couldn't tell you what the story is. And also, right, now this is a problem with all of these kind of like MMO games.
Yeah.
It's like, you do the story, and it's like, me and you did the story,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But this whole way through, you're like, whispered in your ear by Peter Dinklage that you're this,
yeah,
like,
you're
spent,
the chosen
like,
one.
This unique,
yeah.
special wee snowflake, and only you can save the world thing.
Yeah.
And then, you end up saving the world, and then the game keeps going.
Yeah,
and it's
like, well,
and it's like, what? Why are all these other thousands of people also being the only one that can save the world and saving the world?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like nonsensical. You know what I mean?
See,
like,
I think that's what gives me hope in some respects for The Division.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very much a, like, that's the thing with Destiny. I mean, for a start, it's called Destiny.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's not, though, is it?
And then it, like, winds in all this stuff about, like, oh yeah, you, like you say, you're unique.
Mm-hmm.
You only you can save the world situation. Whereas with The Division, it's a bit more like, well, you're an agent who's part of a larger force.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll have the sense in The Division not to end it similar to how Destiny ended it, where it was that kind of like climactic, oh, I've saved the world moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it needs a bit more, or they need to find a clever way. Because it's all about impact, I think, is the most important thing. Because you finish Destiny, and you have the massive, like, bullet sponge boss fight.
Yeah.
Then you have the kind of triumphant moment with a really creepy speaker guy who's like, who's it, the voices on? Is it like, it's like Bill Nye that voices him?
Oh, yeah.
The speaker?
Yeah.
He gives his, like, creepy speech at the end, and then that's it. And, like, the status quo in the game is, like, completely unchanged. Like, they need... They need some kind of impact, so hopefully The Division, you need some kind of tangible way to impact the game.
Yeah, that's always the problem, though. It's like, even if you were to, like, complete your, like, campaign or whatever, I'm doing air quotes when I say campaign,
yeah.
But, like, you do your campaign, and then it's like, at the end, things kind of really go back to being, like, things have to go back to being the same.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep playing the game, and there's, like, thousands of other people, millions of other people playing the game. So it's like, you can't have, like, the power comes back on.
Yeah.
Because then how is the power coming back on, like, in my game, but knowing everybody? Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Unless, what I played the Elder Scrolls Online, like, open weekend.
Okay.
Like, a couple of months back. And that does actually, I mean, the game, I didn't enjoy the game very much. I'm like a massive Elder Scrolls fan, but it's not really an Elder Scrolls game.
Right,
it's more of a kind of like cash-in MMO
tie-in
game. It's like the movie game equivalent of like an Elder Scrolls game, you know what I mean? Those kind of production values and kind of attention to detail. But one thing that it does do very well that I noticed was there's like essentially forks in the road in the story.
Right.
That you get to. And obviously, it's got that kind of problem of everybody's a total unique snowflake.
Yeah.
So everybody walks the same path. But basically,
everyone's the Dragonborn.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens is, which I actually thought was quite good, was, for instance, I think, what was that I played in the open weekend? I can't remember the details, but essentially, I played a mission where it was a story mission, and there was some village came under attack.
Mm.
And you can either, like, you can make a choice that affects the fate of the village.
Okay.
And, like, in a normal game, especially an MMO game, it would just have, you would make the choice, but it wouldn't actually impact anything, and you would just move forward. But what the, because the world as well, it's not one big open world, it's, like, split into, like, instances. So, one area, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah, wars, yeah.
And what the game actually does is, if there's, like, two outcomes for a quest, what it actually does is, if you do it, for example, if you take, like, route B, then if you go back to, like, the village, for example, that you were kind of tasked with saving, you'll always go to instance B.
Right.
And someone who, for, like, if instance B was, like, successfully saving the village, and instance A was failing to save the village.
Burning it to the
ground. Yeah. Yeah. So if you saved the village, you'll always go to an instance where the village is saved.
Right.
And if you fail to save the village, when you go back to the village, you'll go to an instance where the village is burnt to the ground.
Okay.
So, well, that's cool. So that was a kind of cool thing. Cool, that, yeah. So, and obviously that escalates.
It
as
makes
you
feel like you're actually, that's a wee thing, but that makes you actually feel like you're the chosen one or whatever. Because it's like something that you've done or failed to do has impacted the world, instead of like, ah, it's an MMO, you know, somebody else will save the village.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're worried about that.
That's the only downside, of course, is, for instance, say, for example, The Division kind of took that route. And you could kind of, I don't know, the story's like quite tightly under wraps, so I don't know what the actual thing's going to be. But say if you could make those choices and it has kind of instanced locations like that, to take the kind of ESO model. If we play it, obviously we'd be playing it co-op, so we'd probably have the same outcome.
Yeah.
But if we played it separately, then grouped up later on, the problem then becomes, I'm seeing a village yeah. that's burnt to the ground, and you're seeing a village with like happy villagers, yeah. and so
like you keep going into a building that's still there yeah. in your game and it's being destroyed in yeah. mines. It's like this
just standing in the ashes. I'm like, you're not gonna come in the shop, and you're like, what shop?
Yeah.
So
I've watched the thing. I can't remember what it was now, but it's like I've heard that the deal is that the campaign is like it's three separate campaigns where you basically one is to like restore the power, one is to like get health services back up and running, and there's another one, what's like a third thing that you should do.
Is this the three wings? It's technology, medicine, and the third one.
Yes.
What's the third
the
one?
The third one, yeah. You've got it, nailed it. Like government? Getting government back?
Is it?
Is it?
I know, yeah, this yeah, is sounding familiar
you
now,
can,
though.
Like, you can tackle them in any, like, order you want, that there's, like, those three campaigns.
Right, okay. That's, so, like, medical services, yeah, utilities, basically, and
yeah,
then...
and something else.
The third
the
one.
Mystery, yeah. The mystery box.
The media.
Mystery yeah. campaign. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something like
arts
that.
And culture.
Oh, is it maybe, like, law enforcement?
Arts and culture.
It's arts and culture. Getting arts and culture back
getting Broadway back
you,
up.
You start like an inner city programme for the Raiders and you get yeah. them into like painting after raiding classes. So it's like they do some looting, they come to the rec centre, do some arts and crafts.
I like that idea. No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I had seen the three... Because that pertains to the three skills as well, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's interesting, yeah. Yeah, I never picked up on that. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. What else is good? What else is a good, like, multiplayer game? It's like the best multiplayer, like, co-op game. Not like online multiplayer game, but like a good co-op game.
A co-op game.
Well, like a decent story. Did you ever play one which is good is the I say it's good, you can play it co-op, like the Rainbow Six Vegas games, you can play them co-op.
Ah, right, okay.
Like you certainly play the second one co-op, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good fun. It's much easier if you play it with somebody else.
Yeah. Because
it's super punishing. That's like, you've been shot, you're dead.
Yeah.
Because you've been shot.
My games are... Yeah.
Really hard, but really good. Like
co-op games, Portal 2.
Portal 2's co-op campaign's amazing, and it's such like a different idea,
yeah.
Because it's like you would.
Because
you would like if you play through Portal and then you play through Portal 2, which is amazing. Both of them are amazing. I really like Portal 2.
Yeah.
It's one of the only games I've replayed.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, because it's very rare I'll go back and play a game again.
Because that's a like separate co-op campaign it
yeah.
has as well, isn't
it's
it?
It's a separate co-op campaign, because it's set, is it not set like way before?
I think so, yeah. Because this is like one of the actual trials they were
it's,
doing.
Yeah, it's set like way before 2 starts.
Yeah.
And it's really good fun, and it's like, you play, if you were to play Portal or Portal 2, you're like, oh, this is great, it's a great like puzzle game and stuff, but it's like, this couldn't work with another person here. But it does,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like amazingly.
It's like, because it's like so hard to figure out,
yeah.
how do I do this when there's like now more of this, you know what I mean? Because it's like, obviously,
four portals.
You need to use all four portals to solve the puzzles, but it's like, it's just getting your head around that to start with is really difficult. That's another one we played together.
Yeah,
it was good fun.
That was another really good one, yeah. One we didn't, or a series, sorry. That we didn't play together, but that I played with my brother, was already spoke about it before. But Gears of War,
50 Cent, Blood and Sand.
Yes, actually, we did play that, and it was good.
Okay.
Like I will commit to saying that Blood on the Sand was good. That was because you could unlock 50 Cent tracks to like play as you were playing it, and you could unlock it. What was it else you could unlock? You could unlock. It was like catchphrases.
Jesus.
So, because you played as like 50 Cent, obviously,
uh-huh.
and then the rest of the G unit, so like Tony Yayo, the other two,
Tony Yeo, 50 Cent,
Lloyd Bang.
Have a guess who Calm and his brother played as. At least Tony Yeo.
But like, as you played the game, you unlocked, you got money.
Right.
And then you could spend the money on catchphrases to say. So like, if you shot a guy, they would say a catchphrase. Wow. I can't remember Jesus. Any of them offhand.
Okay.
But do you know what the plot is for 50 Cent Blood in the Sand?
He gets paid for doing a gig in the Middle East with a skull.
Yeah.
And then the guy reneges and takes the skull.
And then and 50 Cent's like, I want my skull back.
Decides to kill swathes of people to get his skull back.
Yeah. Basically wages war on like a poor country.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But actually gameplay wise, pretty good. Yeah. Because it's just like, it's like a third person cover shooter.
Can't really go wrong, can you?
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I think the developer, I can't remember the developer, probably long since bust, I'd imagine. But
long with 50 Cent.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, that's true. I'm pretty sure the...
It's heavily funded it himself.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the developer that made Blood in the Sand had made a third person cover shooter.
Right.
And had just reskinned it for Blood in the
Sand.
50
Cent.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So... But I remember that like the finale, you fight like an Apache helicopter in like the total presidential suite of some hotel.
My God.
And like all sorts of crazy stuff. Blood in the Sand.
Gears of War for us.
Yeah, right. I wasn't Gears, Gears of War. We played Gears of War 1, 2, and 3. Really good co-op games.
Yeah, they're okay.
If you're into like really
if you're
muscular,
into, like, super like
grotesquely muscular men,
muscular,
yeah,
like talk about like right wing,
oh
like,
yeah,
gun
come
stuff.
On, yeah.
That's your right wing gun.
Or
stuff.
Or Gears of War is like definitely, because it's like, yeah, weird.
You've got Delta Squad, don't you?
Yeah,
like diverse.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean.
Yeah.
Diverse if you
diverse
like giant muscular men.
Yeah. Yeah, diverse to the extent that there's a black guy, I suppose.
And a Hispanic guy.
Yeah. And the woman on the radio.
And the woman on the radio. So she's
who is in the third one.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like if you like grotesquely muscular men in 1 and 2, and then if you're also into grotesquely muscular women,
which,
then 3.
Which I am.
So then the third one will appear. But I like the third one. Did we play any of them together?
We played the start of the third one together.
Because, do you remember, like...
You just got annoyed with me because I wasn't as good as you are. Like, I was not up to scratch at my gear.
But do you remember that you could, like, find, like, hats?
Hats. I remember... we started playing... because we played it before you and your brother played
it. Yeah.
So we started playing this... And I couldn't believe how happy you were about this hat thing.
Yeah,
like
but
it
you
was
could wear
unbelievable.
Hat.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed
that they figured out how to
get that hat
game.
Technology at that level. Yeah.
Finally, what we've been crying out for, the Gears of War.
Because there was
community.
Some other stuff as well, hats. Wasn't there? Some
was
other that, things you could pick up.
Was that chatting? It came out the big gold chatting.
Yeah. That was weird.
Like lambent chatting.
Yeah. Some weird stuff.
I didn't play 3. I only played the start of it and didn't play the rest of it. Not a big fan.
Nah.
No, like they're fine.
Yeah, see, I think they're good.
I played 2 first, because I got 2 on my Xbox 360.
Right. See, I played a ton of the first one on the 360, like...
Yeah, so I played it and I was already kind of like, this is generic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's fine, you know, they're fine, you know what I mean? They work, they're very functional.
Oh yeah.
They're
yeah.
good. Like, that's, if I could describe Gears of War in a word, it's functional, which isn't it?
That's what every game developer wants to hear. Yeah.
But look, that's a compliment.
It is.
It's not
I mean,
like I'm saying bad, and it works.
So think about how many games are like a buggy mess.
Yeah,
these
exactly.
Days. You know what I mean? Your Assassin's Creed Unity's
Assassin's Creed, man, just the worst.
And then to have a game that comes out and works is a miracle in itself these days.
I think. Did you ever play? I don't know what I'm doing this. Did you ever play Jedi Power Battles?
Yeah.
On the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
That's like my favourite co-op game of all time. So good.
Yeah.
Like
Jedi Power Battles was interesting.
I completed that so many times. So many times. Just amazing. Like. You know what? That game holds up, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would need to play it again, yeah.
I totally think that game holds up. Like, as, you know what I mean? Because it's like, as a kind of 2.5, it's almost like a 2.5D kind of platformer at times.
Yeah.
But it is like, it isn't 2.5D necessarily. Yeah. You just, you are always going further the left to the right. Like, you're never not going left to right. Sometimes there's like a, you're going upwards, but it's left to right upwards. But like, I thought that game was like fantastic.
Because that's kind of like a side-scrolling thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't remember it now.
Yeah. It's just like going, it's not like, that's what, it's not really a side-scroller, because the maps are actually quite open. And you get to like wander around them, and you could go, you could go back to it if you wanted to, like
if you wanted to go,
you wanted to like traipse through the corpses of like many like droids that you've like demolished. I mean, the problem with Jedi Power Battles is it's the story episode one, the Phantom Menace, which is not good, but still good, good game. I loved that game. That was great. I always used to fight my dad, who got to go Mace Windu, because he was by far the best character in the game.
Yeah.
He could throw his lightsaber. Nobody else could do that.
That was a decent game, yeah. I don't know if it holds up. I need to play it.
Nah, it holds up. I mean, I've not played it in years, but it holds up.
It holds up until you play it again.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, I think I would easily be blinded by nostalgia.
Yeah.
And just say it holds up.
Some still. Games like that, hey, that are just... See... I bring this up because I've literally just looked at it, but I just had a thought about it. Because obviously we both played / play in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
And like, do you not really think they missed a trick with the online? And there was
no.
Okay. That'll be the end of that.
They missed the track with it online, in my opinion, in the sense
when they
that they put it into the game.
Well, see, no, what I
can rubbish.
Aye, it's rubbish, right? But what I was going to say was, a better version of it would have been if they had just let you... Because obviously you play as, like, Big Boss or whoever, right? What would have been cooler was if they had done, like, a more, like... Fable thing where you could like have someone come in
and
do the missions with
mission.
You.
That would have been well cool. Yeah.
Like rather than the kind
instead
of weird.
If like instead of having like a buddy, like instead of having Quiet or something, you got to choose
get
to have like
player.
An actual player.
Yeah.
I mean, Quiet's pretty useful.
Yeah.
But yeah, if
would have been better than for example me helping
person.
You.
Yeah. Oh, if the base has been a letter again, Jesus. But that would have been well cool.
Yeah.
They definitely should have done that instead of what
instead
they
of like
did.
The total weird team deathmatch.
Because that was
thing
I
done.
Mean, look, funny.
Oh yeah.
The first time you play it.
Yeah.
But then
because we played like what a couple of matches of it.
Yeah, played like a few hours before it first came out, and then it was kind of like right, well this.
Well,
is,
we've seen all there
is
to see.
This is something we'll never do again.
Creating your character's cool. And
creating your character's
like,
funny. Yeah.
Then you're like, well, that's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if they had done that, it would have been better.
That would have been a lot better.
What else co-op games?
Co-op games? Did you ever play Crackdown?
Co-op.
Like one co-op.
Yeah. Mad. Yeah. I used to play that, like I would just play, because obviously it was online, eh?
Yeah.
And I would just like connect with like, see what I used to do was because when you connected to an online game, because obviously they released like DLC for it and stuff, like weapon packs and things. Mm-hmm. And you could specify what you were looking for. And I never had the DLC because I was like younger at the time. And I would always like connect with people who had the DLC.
Because
then you could drive about all the cars and like use all the weapons and stuff. So I would deliberately look for people that had it.
Yeah.
And then just like ignore them.
And no help them.
Yeah. And then just like basically mess about with all the DLC stuff.
Yeah, Crackdown was good fun.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it's the kind of game that... Which is kind of disappointing, but once you finish it, there is it's like, see, once you actually finish the game, which is essentially kill this list of targets, once you do that, you might as well just stop playing
there's
it.
There's nothing to do.
Because there's nothing to do. Because like all the enemies are gone.
Because like Law and Order is the... And that's the thing, it's like, the bad guys don't respawn.
No.
Or anything. Like, when you've killed them,
they're gone. They respawn when there's a boss in there.
As soon as you take out the boss. And then it's literally just like, unless you want to go rogue and kill the police.
Which, you know, it's funny the first like 9 times you do it. Yeah. But then, where's that?
What are you doing, agent?
That's a good subversive game, though.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because that's like, it turned out it was the agency that introduced all these criminal gangs, so that they could actually assert their dominance.
So they could essentially, the equivalent of like, pass legislation so they could be basically all powerful.
Yeah, it's quite, quite
clever. See, that's what The Division should do, I think. It should do something like that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because then it's like, then you can establish like, basically, a police state. Because if it turns out that The Division released this virus... to establish a police state.
That'd be good.
Because I was reading something else I saw on Reddit. Apparently there's references to like some Directive 51 thing, which is like a real thing in the Constitution or in the law in the US, which basically means that like when some really horrible disaster happens, the president can basically disband, something like disband all other government and appoint like a small committee that basically becomes... the government indefinitely until the end of the crisis. And so there's like references to this thing in the game. And so like, what if maybe it is more of a kind of dark...
Well, now that we've said that, it should be.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't, they've been like outthought by what is essentially like a child's game in Crackdown. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
Crackdown has been... more like
they've been like outthought by a game that panders exclusively to like 14-year-olds who like shooting
to blow things
who like blowing things up, which would be a terrible state of affairs for like Ubisoft and Tom Clancy's like legacy.
Yeah,
it would be funny. I kind of want it to happen now, but yeah, that would be a really cool.
That would be so cool because you know what I mean. Like,
do you think it's the kind of thing that at the end of the story? Or the end, you would figure out that the like the Division have actually released this virus. Then the story would keep going for you to like take the Division down, like
maybe.
The Division heads down. But that's again like back to what we're saying about Destiny. It's like you can't stop the enemy because then it's like how does the game keep going?
Well, see, that's the thing as well, and also like you're obviously still the whole idea of the game is like you are the Division as well. So like what that's it presents an interesting.
That would be cool though. Like I like
because there's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with the Dark Zone element in the Division as well. Is like you can
go rogue.
You can go rogue and like kill other agents and like that's. I know you're fighting over loot and stuff, but
yeah, there's like a reason why because it's like for loot. It's not really. It doesn't seem like a. But you know what I mean. If it's something that's in the world of the game.
Yeah. Even just I mean, it makes such a difference even to just kind of hint at these things as well. I think.
Yeah.
To add, it just stops it being like we talked about before, this kind of like really ham-fisted kind of like, I don't know, patriotic America will rise again situation at the expense of the rest of the world, do you know what I mean?
At the expense of the like thousands of black looters that the Division have murdered in the course of their like achieving their goals.
That's one of the things, to take another sidestep. I don't know how you feel about it. Obviously, neither of us have finished it. I'm further back than you are. And obviously, Fallout has always had elements of this, like American history and American culture. But I think... And I know why they've done it and stuff, but I think Fallout 4... There's a bit too much of that.
Too much American history?
Not American history, but like... It kind of plays on this kind of American heritage... theme like extensively in a way that like 3 and 1 and 2 didn't. Like it's very much like a kind of core bit of the game's personality.
See, this I don't want to be the guy that's like I've actually been to Boston, you know. But see, if you go to Boston, that's what it's like though,
right?
It's like super like American history. This is the history of the country, you know what I mean? It's
right,
like
okay.
It all beats you over the head,
right?
But it's like, you know, if you go to somewhere like, no, look, I've only been to America about 3 times, twice to New York, once to Boston, right?
Yeah.
So my only other frame of reference is what it was like to go to New York,
yeah,
right? But you go there, And it's like, there's loads of cool stuff to do. But it's like, yeah, you could go to like Statue of Liberty and like Ellis Island, they're your kind of historical things.
Yeah.
And everyone has like a degree history to it. But it's not really like, it's like cool things. Like you'd see like Rockefeller Center, nice view. You'd see like Central Park, nice park. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you go to like Boston and it's like everything's like American history, like steeped in American history. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because of what it is in terms of like America's like history. You know what I mean? So it's like, I kind of think that that's part of it. You know what I mean? Because it's set in Boston and that's what Boston's all about. Because it's like, even like when I was there, it's like even there were more like American tourists visiting Boston from other parts of America than there were like outside America.
So it's quite
America.
A big tourist attraction.
Yeah, because they all
nationally
seem, yeah, they all seem to go to like learn about their
and, like,
own
a lot
history.
Of school trips and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they all seem to go there to like learn about their own heritage and stuff.
I suppose that is quite an important.
So that's
that
why
sense,
I
kind of
think that that's maybe what it's. Whereas, like, obviously, in like 3 and 2 and 1 stuff like that, it's not like it doesn't have that strong a connection to like old US. You know what I mean?
Well, see, I think thematically in the game as well, it's all about rebuilding and stuff, and it's all about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you are a kind of relic from the past as well. So I guess I suppose thematically it all ties in. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm growing wearisome here though.
Yeah.
I am growing wearisome 3. Mm. I don't know. It's just like, it's always the case with these games. You know when you kind of like stop playing them, the momentum is lost.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. You know what I mean? It's like I made a choice to stop playing it, because of something that happened in the game. Mm. Not because of like annoyed, like because something happened. I was like, right, I'll stop. And I'll go back and do some other things.
Yeah.
And then once the momentum was gone, I was kind of like,
See, I'm a bit like that just now, because obviously starting the new job, I've not had much time to play it.
Yeah.
And so I put in, like, I was on it when you came round.
Oh, yeah.
Put,
we've both started new jobs.
Yeah.
Last week.
Go on.
As an aside. anyway.
Because, believe it or not, this isn't our...
this isn't our full-time job.
This isn't our full-time job. One...
Yeah.
One... haphazardly assembled podcast a week is not our full-time
no,
job.
No, believe it or not.
But yeah, I put in like a kind of token like 15-20 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like I need to really... So I agree with like losing the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm at in the story, like I feel like if I gave it like one really stalwart push one weekend, I would finish it, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I feel like I need to just wait until... I've got the time to kind of dedicate to it.
Yeah.
Because I know what you mean. It's like, it's hard to kind of get back into it again.
I think as well, we spoke, remember when there was like those rumours of what 3, 4 was going to be?
Yeah.
Like, this was like, what, 2, 3 years
like
ago?
Because like
we were still at uni when this was going on. Because it was when remember that countdown website came up? And it was like, you had your like radio wave transmission things. And we were like speculating as to what it would be. And if it would be in like the Commonwealth, you know what I mean? Like, and we were thinking about what sort of cool things could happen. And it's really weird that it's happened again, right? Because we had a lot of thoughts about like kind of Blade Runner-y kind of stuff that could have happened. And it's not panned out that way in terms of story, which is disappointing to me.
Because that would have been really cool.
Because I've maybe built it up too much in terms of what I thought they could have done, what we thought they could have done. The reason I say it happened again, this is an aside, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but very briefly. The reason I don't like Blade Runner, right, is because when I was like really young, before I had seen it, not really young, like a teenager, before I had seen Blade Runner, I basically asked my dad, because I'd heard about it, and it was like some website, I'm sure, were saying it was like the greatest sci-fi film ever made, right?
Probably.
Which, the case could be made,
there's an argument for it,
I would argue, maybe, top 5, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
what would you say is top 1?
Top 1, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, don't know why I asked.
But,
duh,
greatest film ever made.
Yeah,
but... Yeah, I asked my dad, I was like, what's Blade Runner about? And he was like...
Sex robots.
Sex robots. I wish. No, it's about... he was like, it's about a detective. No, wait, sorry. He was like, it's set in the future where, like man has created these machines that are so lifelike they could pass as human. And it's about this detective whose job it is to hunt down these machines and destroy them. And I was like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds like the greatest film I could imagine, right? And then I watched Blade Runner, and it's boring. It's super boring.
Yeah.
Because it's nowhere near as cool as, like, that scenario. If you just, like, say that scenario, and then it's like, let your mind wander.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and also it stars Harrison Ford. Sounds amazing. It's like Han Solo killing all these robots. It's not that.
Nah.
It's like Han Solo, but he's rubbish. And
he's
bumbling about the place and getting his,
really
getting his fingers broken by, like, sex robots and stuff. And it's like, oh, this is...
See, that's probably how they pitched it when they were, like, pitching the film. They're like, exactly how your dad described it. And the studio were like, you know... Yes.
Yeah.
Green lit. Straight away, just on the strength of that pitch, and then Ridley Scott's obviously like, oh.
Ideas.
Yeah.
I
want to talk about things.
Yeah, and look, I appreciate, because we've spoken about it before, I appreciate the ideas that Blade Runner put forward. It is a great movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to say that. Kind of. But I don't really like it.
Yeah.
Okay. That was just a wee aside. But yeah, it's like, thank you all the, like, cool, kind of, like, we were always talking, but it's like, it would be cool if you got to, like, play, you make your character, but then the twist is that you're a robot the whole time, or that you get to make a character and you are a robot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what interesting kind of stuff you could do in that respect. But I guess the way they're doing it with three is that, four, I keep going to three, the way that they're doing it four is that they're kind of asking the question about, like, what makes, like, a human, or, like, what is life, you know what I mean?
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. I was like, they seem to be doing, I suppose, conceptually, what we've described, but rather than using the player character, they're using the supporting characters to ask those questions. It's like, one of the best characters is, like, Nick Valentine.
Yeah.
Ironically, we've just been talking detectives, the kind of synth detective, who I still think is probably one of the strongest characters in the game.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because he's, like, an actual full character.
Yeah.
Like, especially once you travel with him for a while and get to know him. Whereas, like, everybody else has, like, a kind of one-noteness about them. You know what I mean?
Whereas he's definitely felt, like, the most, ironically, again, for being the robot, has felt like one of the more kind of, like, fleshed out, like, human characters. Because, like, a lot of the other, like, who am I? Like, I was travelling with, like, I travelled with them all... when I met them. So I travelled with Dogmeat for a bit, and then I travelled with...
Well, Dogmeat's fully as a dog.
And then
totally believable as a dog.
As a dog. And then I travelled with... I went back and then travelled with Codsworth for a while, and then I travelled with...
Oh, Codsworth. Super annoying.
Yeah. I travelled with...
Preston Garvey.
No, see, I have never travelled with Preston Garvey.
You've never travelled with Preston Garvey?
I didn't realise until... really, really far on that I could travel with him.
Jesus.
I just thought he decked about and handed it quests. Like,
right,
I didn't realise.
Nice travel.
Yeah.
He's, like, super intense to travel with. Because he'll, like, he'll be really quiet and you'll be walking about and he'll not be saying anything or even be near you. And then for the middle of nowhere, like, a laser blast will just fire and he'll be, like, shooting at something for miles away. Insane.
So I travelled with Codsworth and then I travelled with, Piper, yeah, I travel with Piper.
Yeah, she's a bit one note,
Help
people, alright, okay, I get it.
See, because I thought I was going to have to, like, help her, because there's that whole thing about, like, oh, fix the printing machine, and I'm like, oh, we're going to, like, fix the printing machine.
Do some wacky, like,
never pans out
quests.
Yeah.
Like, go and find me these, like, parts, funny parts.
And then her, and then Nick.
Nick Valentine, yeah.
And then, who did I travel with after that? Paladin Dance.
Paladin Dance, big man.
Who just...
Big man Ocampus.
Who just...
Honor.
Wound me up.
Honor.
Something chronic. Because he's such a total, like... He's such a total jobsworth. And it's like... And he keeps spouting all this stuff like, oh, I'm really glad that I signed you up and I'm glad I vouched for you and we're out here doing, like, the brotherhood's work and that. And I'm like, mate, I signed up to get... on your ship
to get power armor.
I signed up to get the free set of power armor. I'm like, I'm not your pal, you know what I mean?
We are not friends. Yeah. Step off, sir.
And so I travelled with him, and he was just annoying. And then, who next?
Oh, there's three I've travelled with. I don't think you've travelled with yet.
You have met the railroad people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there's four I've travelled with. You've not travelled with. You know, met the railroad
people? I have met them, yeah.
Yeah.
And their companion.
Deacon,
yeah. Travel him now as well. He's okay. I like... He's funny because he keeps changing his outfit.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's in his underwear. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Sometimes you turn around and he's just got his underwear on. And I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Because this is the kind of thing you would do to a companion.
Yeah.
You would take all the clothes off.
Yeah. And
have you travelled with Strong?
Nah.
The Super Mutant.
Nah. He's like Fox.
Like Fox,
yeah.
But worse, because he's annoying.
Ah, right, okay.
I travel with, like, the thing that annoys me about a lot of them, the reason that I've went back to Nick, right?
Yeah.
I've pretty much
Nick
played
is the best.
I've played the whole game with him almost, right? Because it's like, he actually helps out in
combat.
He
also chips in.
Yeah,
as well.
He does stuff, he'll talk to people as well, which is quite cool, and he'll be able to hack terminals for you, right? Whereas, like, everybody else has been, like, lacking in a lot of respect. And the one thing that I like about Nick is I figured out what he likes and he doesn't like.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he goes for most things. Unless you, like, betray somebody outright, he doesn't like that, right? Whereas, like, I went out with a Strong guy, right? That's Super Mutant. And he's like obsessed with finding the milk of human kindness,
ooh,
right? And drinking the milk of human kindness, right? Which is funny, right? But it's like, I went to do a mission with him because I thought, you'll be funny. You'll be like Fox. That's just wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
I just wish Fox was that because he's so good. But I was like picking some locks. Didn't he like that?
Oh.
I was like, I can't have you going a bit with me. Nah. You're like way too judgmental.
That's odd.
Yeah. So I ditched him and I was travelling with MacReady, the like mercenary guy, right?
I've not met him.
You meet him in like the third rail in Good Neighbour.
Oh, okay. See, I've been there. I've never.
Yeah, he's in the back room. You could like pay him 250 caps to come and travel with you.
Oh, okay.
And
I'll do that.
I was like, I'll go out with you because you'll have like you'll
be
like neutral karma. You'll be like, you'll just let me do whatever because you're a filthy mercenary.
Yeah.
But no, even he was like disliked certain things.
Aye.
Like, and I was like, ah, oh. So I got rid of him almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
And what I did, what I thought would be funny, because for some reason I thought this would be funny in my head. I thought that like MacReady and Strong would be like a cool team, like
a cool double act.
Like, I kind of just felt that there would be like a really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was playing it with MacReady and like I got rid of him, and then I went and played it with Strong, and I was like, I would really like to watch you and MacReady do some missions. So I was like, I sent MacReady to Abernathy Farm and I made a man like a mortar that I'd built.
Yeah.
And then I sent Strong to Abernathy Farm just to like be near him.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be really funny.
That's funny. So you get some good. You get some good interactions if you take a companion with you to meet another companion and then swap companions.
Yeah.
You get some good, like, you get some often, like, quite snidey banter between the two of them, which is quite funny sometimes.
Have you been out with Hancock yet?
Nah.
I've been out with Hancock.
How do you get all these people's companions? Don't tell me.
Hancock's pretty rubbish.
Alright, okay. Because he looks cool.
He looks so cool, like a ghoul pirate.
And he's like total, like,
unhinged,
sarky and,
But he's unhinged and sarky.
Yeah.
But when you get attacked in the middle of nowhere by Deathclaws and Rad Scorpions, he's a bit lacking in the, combat aspect.
Yeah.
To the point where I had to.
What weapons did he use, like?
He had, like, a shotgun, but it was only because I gave him it.
Aye. All the default weapons.
To the point where I had to run away for this Deathclaw Rad Scorpion till I found a random trader who lived in like a cabin in the middle of nowhere that just so happened to be slightly above the ground. walked up the stairs and stood on this balcony and watched these rad scorpions not get up the stairs. And I just had to shoot at them for the like this like a meter above the ground balcony for ages. It took me so long.
Where was Hancock when this was happening? Like KO?
Who knows? Just miles away, wandering about, cutting scabs off or something. I don't know. Just no interest in. So what I did with him is, I sent him to Bunker Hill to be a bartender, because I thought that's much funnier if you're a bartender somewhere.
That is cool.
Yeah,
what you said, I mean, like you said, the kind of, that makes sense in terms of, like you say, the setting, and like obviously with the themes of the game as well.
One more good co-op game. Let's do it. Let's rack our brains. Let's muster our strength and come up with this. I can't think of one. Like you said about Metal Gear Solid, the way the Fable works is really good.
Yeah.
I really liked that about Fable. Fable 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Like
shame
that,
about the rest of 3 though.
Yeah, 3's garbage. But 2's really, 2's a great game. But yeah, the way it's just like, come and help.
Yeah.
Sweet. I mean, it's a shame that you have to do it twice, essentially. You have to repay your mate back by doing the story again with them.
Because you can't just do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a good game that you can do the full story as two people.
You know what, this is...
Black Ops 3, yeah?
Yeah.
But let's not get into that.
Let's not get into the Black Ops 3 quagmire. You know what I was going to say?
One day, I will post that half-hour discussion of Black Ops 3, but it's not this week.
I think more recent, and it's not by any means the best, it's just an example that came to me, was the when we played a bit of the heists on Grand Theft Auto. Like, I thought as like a co-op experience.
The way those worked,
that was good. That was really interesting.
Yeah, it's a shame about the measly take.
Yeah, that's the just kind of like tight-fisted.
The measly take and the fact that you have to like end up doing it with random idiots that like will
and it
screw
just makes
you over.
It, like, makes it like brick solid,
Or in the case that, remember when we had, the guy like outright refused to be ready to play unless I gave everybody an equal share, even though I had paid
you
like,
had fronted
a
all the
massive
money.
Amount of like setup cost. Ridiculous. Like,
how far through them did we get? We did a couple of them.
Far-ish. We didn't finish them. But
did we do the prison break?
Yeah.
That's one of the better ones.
That was the one where we had to play with an idiot guy.
Yeah.
He was like, he thought we were for like France or
something. Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Some American guy who thought we were for France. And then, what was it? He was like, where are you guys from? And we were like, he was like a European.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, you've got it. We're European.
We're European.
Well done.
Yeah.
And then he ended up saying something about like how Europe doesn't even have that good an army or something.
Yeah, that's so exactly funny. What he said. He was like, Europe doesn't even have that great an army.
Yeah, because I was like, he was like, you didn't even have that good an army. And we were like, do you mean Europe?
The European
like,
army.
What is wrong with you? So
it's like, technically, if Europe did have an army,
it'd be
better than Europe.
Pretty decent.
It'd be pretty much the best army in the world if Europe did have an army. Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh. Just by virtue of its sheer size alone, surely.
Yeah.
It'd be, God. But yeah, I remember that guy now. He was
weird.
Some kind of interesting.
I'm pretty sure he was like 13 as well.
Oh yeah. They always are.
Yeah.
These folk that give you this kind of aggro. They're always young.
Again, just kids. Just kids.
Kids who shouldn't be playing a game that's rated 18.
Definitely not. Yeah. How did they get that game? Poor parent.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Very poor parent.
So
the
division
sounds good. We see you there, March 8th.
On the nose, we got there.
We're not being paid for this.
I know we're not. We should be.
We should be.
Come on, Ubisoft.
Gonna tweet them and be like, We just
like spent an hour and a half. I mean, no, the full
roundabout talking
like,
about your game.
Like, how long full? Like, fully about what? 40 minutes? So this is probably about the division.
Longer than I thought we'd manage.
I know. I'm surprised. When you suggested this, I was like, alright.
Incredibly sceptical.
When you suggested this, and then like literally about a minute before we started recording, I said to you, do you have a lot to talk about the division? And you said no. I was like, great. Bash on.
Great idea for a topic, Cal. Yeah.
Oh yeah, if you didn't like this episode, it's because it's Cal's idea.
This is the one time that Alan didn't have a topic in mind.
I know.
And
negligence.
I made a suggestion, so if you didn't enjoy it,
yeah, it's worked. That's it, all right. Didn't
we've got enough content.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Anyway, is that us?
I think that's us. Yeah.
Well, look, if you've enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or follow us on the Darrow SoundCloud. Follow us, rate us, review us, whatever, really. And if you have any questions for us, if you have topics for future shows which would prevent debacles like this in the immediate future, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us at whatsnowpodcast@gmail.com. We'd be more than happy to hear from you.
And if you're Ubisoft Massive or any other game developer out there and you want us to review your game, send us a review code and we'll talk your game to death. We will review any old game.
Good addition, good unscripted addition, Carl. Yeah. Because get us a wee bit of cash on the side. Yeah.
Free games.
Cool. Well, guys, that's been What's Now. Subscribe for What's Next.